Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
When I look around my campus, I see the faces of the women affected by this lack of contraceptive coverage.
If she's really concerned about the rights of privacy, she should keep her private sexual business to herself and pay for it herself.
Have we become a country where it's okay to go to church on Sunday morning for 1 hour, but let's not actually express those beliefs the rest of the week?
If you really hold to sola scriptura, you're going to hold to solus Christus, meaning all theology is Christology.
Organists in Indiana love Issues Etc.
Now, if you read John's Gospel, he's going to have this very famous story of Jesus cleansing the temple in a different place than we find it in the other Gospels. That is a little bit of an enigma, a little bit of a mystery for scholars. We're not going to attempt to even answer that question here during this half hour of Issues Etc. John's reasons are his own for placing it where he does. But early in John's Gospel, we have Jesus entering the temple at the time of a great feast when people are gathered there. And then, of course, we know the rest. He drives out the money changers and he says, or actually his disciples remember a passage from the Old Testament that is quoted in John's Gospel. The zeal of your house will consume me. What is Jesus doing cleansing the temple? It's Wednesday afternoon, March the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live. Thanks for tuning us in. Deaconess Pam Nielsen kicks off this first hour with us as we teach a Sunday school lesson in John chapter 2, Jesus clearing the temple. A little bit later, the church is remembering Felicitas and Perpetua, a noblewoman and her slave who were martyred in the very beginning years of the 3rd century A.D., among some of the earliest known martyrs, and their trial and their martyrdom comes down to us as a matter of record and has been remembered for all the centuries of the church's history as a matter of comfort. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Karen Presley joins us. There's been a recent defection from Scientology of one of its executives. There are allegations of abuse, of mistreatment, and of course, Scientology always lawyers up and always tries to get these things done as quickly as possible. This case isn't necessarily going away. Karen Presley, a former Scientologist, will walk us through the latest legal flap regarding Scientology. Dr. Craig Evans will be our guest in the second hour of the program. You probably heard about this Jesus discovery, a discovery of an ossuary with a fish on the side of it. And this fish appears to be spitting a man out. Some say it is the sign of Jonah that Jesus talks about as a sign of his resurrection. We'll see what this discovery is all about. Then Dr. Stephen Meyer will join us from the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Darwinian evolution has a real problem. It's actually a very small problem. DNA is so small, we have difficulty even seeing it, but we do know a little bit of how it works, and how it works speaks directly against the basic framework of evolution. Did you know that? It's true. We'll find out about the problem of DNA in the theory of evolution in the last half hour. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back, Todd.
When we find Jesus in the temple and actually clearing the temple early in John's Gospel, he is there along with so many others for a great Old Testament feast. What is it and why is it important for us to know?
Well, you're right. They were there at the time of the Passover, that the celebration that was going on in Jerusalem at the time. And this is the feast that was instituted by the Lord as a remembrance of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt when the Lord delivered them by having them paint the blood of the lambs over their doorposts, and the angel of death passed over them, then their firstborn sons lived. Though the Egyptians who didn't know that, didn't have that, their sons died. But this Passover event and the remembrance of it is more than just that remembrance. Like all of the sacrifices instituted by the Lord through Moses, the Passover anticipates the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ. By his death and pouring out of his blood, he doesn't hold our sins against us. He passes over our penalty of death, granting us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. So this yearly remembrance looked back at that great moment when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel and pointed forward to when the ultimate Passover, passing over of death for all eternity, in the promised Messiah, the Christ, the one who would come. And now we know, because we can look back at all of it and know that in this lesson in John, at that celebration of the Passover, here they came face to face with the ultimate Passover, the one who would do that, Christ Jesus. And that's really at the heart of our lesson today.
What does he find when he enters the temple or the temple grounds here that apparently causes him, in this case, the Old Testament word is zeal, but it is clear that Jesus is upset with what he finds there?
Well, he is. And, if we just take this in a big picture, we might miss some of the nuances. Of course, there were people there selling animals, sacrifices. They had clean coins that could be exchanged for coins that were viewed as unclean. The animals were there that could be purchased. If you came from a long distance to celebrate the Passover, perhaps it would have been hard to bring your own animal. There was a purpose for all that, that they were there. But the problem was that the traders who were there to provide a service for those who'd come to worship and sacrifice at the Passover, they had been encroaching further and further into what really was God's holy space. They had set up shop, quite literally, in the court of the Gentiles, and that was the area of the temple reserved for Gentiles who had not been circumcised, but who wanted to worship the true God, and it was a place of worship, and yet now being crowded out by tables of vendors selling animals for sacrifice and trading with people. And that is what the problem was. Jesus walked in to find that the place of God really crowded out by a marketplace, and obviously the people there missing the point, and he takes action. He's angered by this, and he does what he needs to do, and he clears the temple, and it's really important, I think, when we teach this Sunday with our Sunday school children, to not just, say it's wrong to sell things, it's wrong to make money off of things that are used for worship. That's not the point of this. There is a place for all good occupations and activities. There's a place for buying and selling and for caring for the earthly needs that we have. But where God has set apart a place for worship of himself, that's holy ground, and that's not a place for buying and selling. And that's where Jesus is making this distinction. That's God's place, and that's God's time. And then Jesus goes further to point out, you're not going to need any of this anymore, because he is the one who was to come, who will replace all of that sacrificing of pigeons and lambs and everything else that had been sacrificed for hundreds of years.
We also need to note here that while he refers to this as my father's house, this is Jesus' house too, isn't it?
That's exactly right, and that's part of the point. Jesus is making clear once again, and so many of these stories we're studying in the New Testament, stories that help us and the people who experienced the event in person when Jesus was on this earth. He makes clear who he is and what he's come to do. And so this isn't just his father's house. This is his house, and it is the house of God, and it is a holy place. And he works very hard to make that clear to them by really using force, creating a whip, overturning tables, shooing them out. This is no place for that to go on.
That image there, with about a minute here before we take our break, may be incongruous to some of our listeners, especially to little kids when they picture this in their mind during a Sunday school lesson, Jesus whipping everybody out of the temple, and he's filled with anger, too. Talk a bit about that, about a minute before our break.
Well, that's a good thing to talk about. Yes, he's truly angry, and he's using force. He's not just using words. He is physically carrying out his anger. And we need to note that, Jesus is no respecter of men. He's not afraid what's going to happen by this action that he takes. What he's doing very, very carefully is carrying out the will of his Father. He doesn't care what others think. He's always, and especially here, working to do the will of his Father to defend God's plan of salvation. And he sees these things, this buying and selling, as getting in the way of people coming to and knowing who the true God is and knowing what he's done for them.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about Jesus clearing the temple. 10 more minutes with her right after this.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Jesus clearing the temple in the second chapter of John's Gospel. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. This lesson is a great example of how we see Jesus proclaiming himself to be the fulfillment of all that surrounded the Old Testament temple, the sacrifices, the religious ceremony, the priesthood. Everything that was centered in the temple is coming together and is being fulfilled by Jesus, will ultimately be fulfilled by him completely in his suffering, death, and his resurrection. And it is that view of Scripture, Old Testament and New, that you will find in this unique Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ, Finding Christ in His Saving Work on Every Page of Scripture. Find out more about Growing in Christ. You can give them a call. They will send you a free sample to peruse. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can also check it out at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pam, let's talk about the second thing. I want to come back to the cleansing of the temple in a minute, but for the sake of time, let's talk about the second thing that Jesus does here, and that is he makes a prediction. This is only John chapter 2, but he already makes a prediction of his passion. Tell us about it.
Well, that's right. In the latter part of this text, verses 18 and 19, the Jews say to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" You know, he's already, you know, turned over the tables, and they're alarmed. And, you know, what gives you this right? And he answers them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then the Jews go on to say, it's taken 46 years to build it, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. And the text in verse 21, "But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." He makes a very clear statement here. He's the temple now. Not a physical building, but he is the temple. He is the one that will make the final, the complete, ultimate sacrifice for us, for our sins. He'll do it on the cross, and he'll be destroyed. He will die, and he will be raised up again in 3 days. And so this is just crystal clear, pointing forward to what is to come. Christ on the cross for the sins of the world, and then rising from the dead, making no other sacrifice necessary, fully, completely paying for the cost of sin, paying the price, so that we might have eternal life. And that's at the heart of this. Them understanding, not just that they were buying and selling animals and that it was a ruckus and it was distracting, they were all missing the point of who Jesus is, and that those sacrifices really are only temporary until the one final complete sacrifice came in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And he's alluding to it, not just alluding, very clearly stating it and pointing to himself as the new temple.
It does tell us that the disciples were given to believe they did not initially understand what he meant, but when all these things had been fulfilled, his disciples remembered it and then understood what he was saying.
Yeah, that's right. You know, all through these gospel readings and the events, the teachings, the miracles, the things that happen with the disciples and Jesus and the others who followed and gathered around, he said these things, and they weren't always crystal clear to them. They're clear to us because we have the ability to look back and see it all now. But to them, they were pieces of a puzzle, maybe, things that were coming into focus for them, ultimately coming into focus in his death and resurrection. And, you know, even for them after the resurrection, when he came to show himself to them, and even for some, like Thomas, having to touch and see, oh, yes, it really is the Lord. And then all of these things start to become very clear. That's what he meant. That's what he's talking about. And that's why God's Word, you know, it's recorded for us. That's why we teach it every Sunday, to help make these things clear, because they matter for eternity, for the souls that we teach and for our own souls, that we know, we trust, and believe in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for us.
You always like to bring us a witness, mercy, and life together story to tie into the lesson that we are talking about every week with you. What do you have for us today? We got a couple minutes here.
Well, I just want to highlight, you know, we're talking about Jesus overturning the temples and the tables and the vendors there. In this past week, tornadoes overturned towns and lives and homes. And LCMS Disaster Response is on the scene, working with volunteers, taking donations, reaching out in the name of Christ to people whose lives have been turned upside down. And we've got all kinds of video, pictures, stories on the LCMS.org website. I encourage you, teachers, to avail yourself of these resources with your class. There's a prayer that went out to pastors. We're asking all pastors to pray for the victims of these tornadoes. Sunday, a bulletin or insert was sent out by email today to pastors. And, you know, help children to understand that in our life together, in our witness and in our mercy, we care for each other. Maybe we don't know these people. Maybe we live states away. But we can pray for them, and we can support those who are able to be with them, to comfort and care for them. So LCMS.org, it's front page there. You can find out all about what your church is doing to care and bear the mercy of Christ to people whose lives have been blown away, blown upside down by these terrible storms.
It's especially appropriate that we talk about this very account where Jesus promises his resurrection, especially in the light of the deaths, but also
That's right.
The light of the fact that even with the lesser things that are lost, not just life, but home and livelihood, and yes, in some cases, all that someone possesses in life, and maybe even lives that are lost, what is the comfort that Christians can bring, along with those acts of mercy, what is the comfort that Christian helpers can bring at a time of tragedy with the message of Christ's resurrection?
Well, we bring the message that Christ lives and he gives us life eternal. He is with us. He's with us in his word and sacrament, and that's the beauty of when the church comes bearing mercy. We don't just give bottled water and blankets and tents and hammers and nails, but we come with the word of God, the living word of God, that promises eternal salvation, that promises and gives the love of God in Christ Jesus, that forgives sins, that rescues us from the worst tragedy, the tragedy of sin, that would give us nothing but eternal death and suffering, not just momentary suffering in a storm. But we go out as the church, and we walk with these people, and we walk with them in the name of Christ, bearing his presence, proclaiming his word, his life-giving word, and giving out tangible signs of that in the care and the things that we bring to help them in their time of need. And it is appreciated, and it is welcomed. And those who go and who are trained, we now have disaster teams ready to go all over the country, working with our various districts. These people are eager to care for their neighbor in need and to do it while proclaiming the love of Christ, his presence in our lives, and his mercy forever in their lives. So please pray for them, support them, and support your church in this work that we do together.
Next time we'll be visiting the familiar story of the widow's mite and Jesus' commendation of her. Give us a preview of what we'll be talking about next week.
Well, that's a familiar story. We cover it often in Sunday school, and it's another one as we walk with Jesus towards the cross in these weeks of Lent. The story of the widow and her mite, and the point that Jesus makes about what is important and where our hearts should be and where our treasures should be It's a great story to teach and one that I think kids really can grasp. So we'll look forward to talking about that next week or the week after. And we'll continue our walk towards the cross and towards the resurrection on Easter morning.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
We will have a link to the LCMS efforts for disaster relief in the wake of these terrible storms recently at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, well, there's always legal trouble and always a cloud of lawyers surrounding Scientology. I don't know why this is. It is well known as a rather litigious religious group. They've got the money to do it, you know. They're also rather secretive, although they claim not to be. And one of the secrets that seems to be coming out, and it's been coming out, well, almost every time someone of high repute in Scientology defects, I mean, that's what we have to call this, a defection from Scientology, there are stories of abuse. We're talking about physical abuse and mental abuse. There are stories that really curl your hair. And on the other side of the break, Karen Presley, a former Scientologist, will explain the latest to us. After that, we'll remember third century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas with Pastor Heath Curtis.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've pre-screened an upcoming movie that dramatically deals with abortion, and I give it two thumbs up. It's called October Baby, and it's about a young girl who finds out she's adopted. But along the way, there's some twists and revelations to keep you engaged to the end of the film. You'll get a new and unexpected perspective on the abortion issue. Several films out there have a great message but come up a little short on production quality. I'm happy to say October Baby is right up there with mainstream films you see in theaters. Speaking of which, this movie will be in theaters March 23rd. Please make it part of your weekend to see this moving story, and then tell your family and friends to see it. We need to support good family-friendly films. And I believe this one will be well worth your time.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.